not be rated very highly with the bonding service. And I can tell you that our AA, let's see. Our A1, it's a AA3 rating is higher than Walmart, which is at AA2. Not Walmart. They're higher than we are. Mount Pleasant School District is a A1. Exxon has a higher one. General Electric has the same one that we have. So, you know, we're very fortunate in this county to have had the court that they've had over the last 10 to 15 years, because this budget is a very efficient budget. I understand that there are problems right now with the shutting down of the generating plants, but it's pretty difficult to make the cuts that we're going to make. Yeah, but we will continue to make cuts. Yes, sir.
We're not trying to beat you guys up. Granted, you're an elected official and all that, okay? People are scared. People are really, really scared, okay? Extremely. I've talked to so many people in the county that it's just unbelievable. Fear is going on. Partly because of limited. We just come down here just to watch the process, make a few comments, and try to inject a little bit of assistance, if you will. All right. That's what I'm here for anyway. Because as you noticed, I'm right with our election guy. I mean, makes no sense to do this when you already have this in the process.
I'm sorry. But what it basically amounts to, elected officials kind of get beat up on a lot. Okay? It's just the way it is. All right. No vengeance or vindictiveness intended on my part, and I think by and large most people. But we are concerned about the budget. We are all very nervous. Tom knows. I've called him a couple of times. It's one of those things that we just really need to know which way we're going, okay? That's all it is.
And I will tell you before, we may not act like we're nervous.
I know you are.
We got to handle it.
Well, I know, and you guys in the elected positions have to handle it, and that's exactly it. I don't think anybody's out there vindictively going after anybody. I just think everybody's scared, okay? And we all have to look at, okay, I've got X amount of acres. The gentleman the other night at the assessor's board meeting says, what am I going to do? I've worked 60 years to pay for my place. Now you guys are going to start setting taxes and rates and stuff to where I lose my home that I've worked my whole life so I can relax when I retire? That's what's going through a lot of people. Okay, so that's why we're here doing what we're doing. It's not to cut anybody's throat or get nasty or anything else. It's just we want to see the process. We like to be able to inject comments and suggestions and all that stuff, as we have. Brian and I have known each other since election day or before, you know, and we talk about things, and I talk with Tom about a lot of things, and it's the way it's going to be. Okay?
Well,
nothing personal.
You know, sometimes we don't see the forest
for trees. Oh, I understand.
And I drive down the road sometimes and there's a pothole and I don't even see it.
No, because you're thinking about something else. Been there and done that, Tom. You know, it's just the way it is. But we appreciate your hard work. We really do. All of you.
You know. You can see where
Oh, I understand. Yeah, and.
Because of the magnitude of that, if I don't raise my taxes and do the best you can, are worlds apart.
Yes, they are. And I've never said, don't raise my taxes myself. Granted, I would much rather have not raised. But sometimes you're forced into a situation that you have no choice. Either have the services for the public or have no services. And therein lies the rub, if you will.
And it does make that determination.
Oh, yeah. Then what if?
There's plenty of people out there, but they don't want roads to drive on. They go to Hood County, drive on the gravel over there, or go somewhere else.
I hate to say this, Tom, but I just didn't have gravel roads, but that's all right. I'm an old Kansas farm boy originally, and that's all we ever had, gravel roads, you know? Anyway, as far as looking at the budget and everybody being nervous, that's all it is. Everybody's afraid right now, guys. And we're just trying to help, I guess, the best way I can put it. And I realize some people don't come across as helpful, but still, that's basically what we're trying to do. So, you know, I'll share a little something with you in a little bit after the meeting. Well, yeah, you want a couple dollars? I got a couple. Anyway, that's just all I want you guys to know. I mean, you're doing good work. It's just where everybody's at right now. Thank you, Grandma.
Numbers on. The whole gamut.
I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about that. What we're going to have to decide, I think you're going to have Blue Cross Blue Shield people give you a quote. The people at Health First are only work with us through the self-insured parts, the way I look
but
at
But there
it.
Are other TPAs out there.
Yes, but that's still, the first question is going to be, are we going to go self-insured or are we going to go to a standard type plan?
You'll have to have some if you want.
That's right. And if you decide to go to a self-insured plan, then you're going to have different bids from different organizations that manage your plan for you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're going to have the whole gamut there to look at. You're going to have to you're gonna have to look at Blue Cross, Blue Shield, whoever else is out there, Health First.
And that's what she does.
And whoever else is out there.
Yeah, she.
Has she got some quotes on Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and that type of stuff? Did she bring us any of that?
That's not the parameters of her audit.
She's just reviewing what we got now.
What we got now.
But
the next step would be to employ her as our agent of record. And then she would go out and she would evaluate third-party administrators and bring us a proposal on that. And what she would do there is evaluate what fees they charge for certain services that they do when they're that big. And then bring us co-insurers, quotes on that. And then she would come over here and give us a standard Blue Cross policy or a Aetna or whatever, yeah. She works for TPA. For Health First.
She only gets the bid on the secondary insurance. She wouldn't be bidding on. Because she'd be, that's just not the position.
Not co-insurance, reinsurance. No.
And I'm saying this from experience. I don't know, there's a jillion different ways to bid the insurance, but one of the things that we found at one point that we had a low deductible, and in order to try and keep the employees' benefits from changing too much, y'all's deductible is $600, and we raised the deductible, but yet we offered to pay so much money. The employee paid the first $600, and then we might pay the next $1,000 per employee. And you get the benefit of lowering the deductible, but yet the employees don't take the whole hit.
Savings from a higher deductible offset
the
additional.
That's right.
Yeah, we want them to stay in network.
Because not every employee is going to utilize that.
The $1,000 or whatever, you decide that you're going to pay per employee. The insurance company's playing the average, and you would be playing the average too, that not all, 130 employees for the county or something like that, not all 130 employees would use up to $1,000 a year in addition to their $600 deductible. But yet your premium is dropped tremendously. But that's not a self-insured program. So,
I don't think anybody here is married to a self-insured program. I heard it out of Gail's mouth.
But that way it doesn't hurt the employees so much. They still get the benefit of $600 deductible until you start getting up into that catastrophic. Yes. Somewhere along.
At that time, the difference was huge.
But it may be different now there.
That was when you were county judge or was it
the one we did where we paid the addition above the employee's deductible was at the time of the company in the business. But it got to the point that the premiums were getting so high we couldn't continue on with the low deductible, which is where you're going to be trying to keep a $600 deductible with 130 employees, I would think.
We did that to try to keep them in the plan. The other is about
600 if they're in network is 1,000.
600 and out of network is about. And that's what we get a discount that's paid in the plan.
Yeah, but and if you use the same, I don't know if you can do that when you go with a on your own insurance. You're either probably going to have they're going to break it down in terms of deductibles of 500 or 600 or 2,500 or 5,000.
Right.
But it could be that you'd want it bid with a 600, a 2,500, and 5,000 deductible, and then consider as you raise that deductible, paying part of the employee's expenses. Above their $600 deductible.
Does the insurance company would be able to do that administrative
No, no. You have to keep that, you have to keep up with that in-house. But it's not, with the savings you get, you can afford to do a little of that. And it's up to the employees, once they pay that $600 deductible, they've got to turn the bills in for the remainder to be paid up the bill. And you may not want to pay the full difference between the $600 and $2,500, or the $600 and the $5,000. But at least the county would come out with some savings, and the benefits of the employees don't change. You know, it may change some, but not just devastating to them.
And you definitely save anybody that doesn't have to file a claim that year.
Yes.
Because you dodged the higher deductible plan, and if they didn't have any claims, it didn't cost the employees anything.
Yeah. I think it lowered our deductible almost in half.
You mean the premium?
I'm sorry, the premium. It lowered our premiums almost half to go to that higher deductible, and then we paid a portion of the difference, but not all the employees used it up.
Did you pay it in their paycheck? Or was it?
Did we do what?
How did you pay the difference? As far as was it?
Did that it was separate.
Income?
Yeah. Once they presented the bills, then
but,
it would
but
be.
But I mean, did you include it in their? Would it be considered compensation because you're reimbursing them?
I don't remember how the tax.
I would think you'd have to pick it up as wages, I would think.
Yeah,
you do
any other.
But there's going to be. I think that's what the IRS brought against it. You're paying them small money.
I don't know how that portion of it works. I'm not a tax.
Well, I do really. We have some opportunity. You've seen what the
I got the city's figures and Hopkins County, which is the county I use as a parish to, you know, we're close in proximity and we're fairly evenly the same size, pretty much. Hopkins County pays $568 a month for their employees' insurance. That's about a little under $7,200 a year. They have 148 employees, well, we probably have 120. I don't know exactly what our county is on. The sheriff's office with the jail, I think,
what kind of deductible?
Their deductible is $1,000. Their copay is $30. But now they do, and they pay for all the employees' insurance. But for the employee's family, the employee has to pay it, and they're charging them more money than we're charging.
But see, if they got a $1,000 deductible and they're only $500 something a month, if you went to a $2,500 or a $5,000 deductible, and you know agreed to pay $1,000 or $2,000 as the deductible got higher, up to a point, then your problem would come in a lot less than $500 a month. But I don't know that.
Their insurance costs them a little over $1 million a year. Ours costs us about $1.3 million. But the thing to remember about our insurance is we're self-insured, so I'm funding what I think I need to cover claims up to $45,000 per person on the deal. In a year where we don't have all those claims, and that money stays in there to help hold the cost, you know, it's...
Is that part of your $5 million cash?
No. It's in a separate fund.
And how much do you have in that fund?
It's not very much. It's about $152,000. The last couple of years have been pretty good, but there was a couple of years. Once any particular claim goes over $45,000, that secondary insurance picks it instead of pays it. But you have to pay the premiums for that secondary insurance in order to have it. That's one of the quotes.
But if you've got $150,000 in there, and that's over a period of a year, that's about $1,000 an employee. So now then your insurance went from $9,000 to $8,000 per employee.
If you have 150,000 at the end of the year. But if 1 year I have three people that have a lot of claims, that have, say they have $44,000 in claims, because we have to pay all the claims up to the 45, being self-insured. The next year I may have 10 people that have $40,000 in claims. You don't ever know what you're going to have. Something happens. Yeah. It doesn't take long to spend $45,000. We checked that.
Several years it's been lower than it had a year.
Anything else? Anyone in the audience, question, comment, comment, or whatever?
I got something else here to get money slaver. All I talked about the other day is the holidays. We get three holidays at Christmas. New Year's, we got about four, maybe we got four Christmas and three New Year's. We can do away with one of those, each one of those, save a lot of money.
Especially like we talked earlier, the sheriff's department, because it's double time.
There was some kind of obscure, holiday that we had in the spring, and I don't know what it was, but I shook my head and thought.
But Thomas and I are talking about in the current year's deal, right now we've got 3 days for Christmas. I don't know anybody that's getting 3 days for Christmas. We got Thursday and Friday in the next month. Yeah, but we're giving. Well, most places usually give them 2 days for Christmas.
So you got to have Texas Independence Day? Well, I've got to have St. Patrick's Day.
The other one we're looking at is, and you have to go into both years to see it, is January 1st. Most places give 1 day. We need to be sure we don't accidentally or give 2 days. I mean, they've got December 30th down there as a day. If we're going to give that Friday, December 30th, then when you're looking at the new calendar for next year, we don't need to give Monday, January 2nd.
Well, keep in mind that January the 1st is a deadline for taxes.
That's right.
And so,
that's what we've run into.
Yeah, if we close on the 2nd, then we have to give them, we have to be able to say,
it's the 31st, it's not the
31st, okay. But the 31st is going to be on Saturday.
That's right. So if we close on that Friday, the 30th, then they're allowed to come in on Monday the 2nd, right, and it still be considered being paid.
Or, you know, we could stay open on the 30th and then close on the 1st. On the 2nd.
That's right. You can do it either way. But I'm just saying we need to make sure we don't do both days.
Well, we got it here. We got it being closed on Friday.
Uh-huh.
I
think we ought to work on the Fridays.
I do too, because that's a fact, you know, people pay their taxes. Mm-hmm.
This one you need to adjust in court. And you can also review, but usually they don't review it until December. But you can review it right now if you want, whatever, the next year's calendar, but you can do it at the same time if you want. To eliminate some of those other days while you're fresh on the mind and taking that. We haven't necessarily got
court dates. Thomas, it's already September the 16th.
Yep, the next court will be in September.
We're getting on down the road.
We need to change those to the next court. And the other thing we were talking about, the opportunity was, and this JP's going to the hospital. So you said,
we're going to get together and talk about that. It's a bare minimum of partial transition over into that.
Okay.
And then hold it up to
You know, I think, and I talked, Nigel's still here, I talked to him on the phone, and it's not that we don't appreciate the work that they went into.
Yeah, they put some work in this, and we do appreciate it. That's...
And this exercise should be done every year. But the thing is, and I think everyone here also realizes that this is not a gravy train. That our employees work hard. They do good service for the people in this county. And it's difficult, it's really difficult to make significant cuts without affecting seriously the services that are offered. And I agree with Mike, if this thing gets really dicey, people are not going to have, they're not going to be able to call in and say, look, I've got a pothole on my road. You know, you're just going to say, look, there's potholes everywhere. You know, we're just, you know, we're out of money. And we'll get them as soon as we get funding here. So it's a tight budget. And I think the whole experience, I think, has been positive for both parties, both the court and for the people that went to the effort to bring this around, Nigel.
You know, talking about the operation, I came in office, my budget was $372,000. My budget now is
$500. In $1,950?
Yes.
What year was that, Tom?
I'm not swearing. Anyway, it's 525 over that year. So, you know, we're not, we had a place where I was
home. Well, probably in the year dollars that when you started, it has not gone up according to the cost of living by any means.
They had moved by 17, 15. 16, 17, went up to $18 a ton for coal mix and all hurt. Now it's 62. $62 a ton. So, you know, it's been happening.
I've got a country boy.
Got one?
Okay. There it is. It $450 a ton. Move to adjourn. Did you do that?
Yes, he did.
Oh, thank you. Hey, well, I've already cut mine.
You should have bought that. I'd like to chip in later on.